Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
One day closer to the draft and one big move down for the Sabres heading into the offseason and, of course, the 25-26 campaign. If you were up late, one of us was, one of us wasn't, you would have known that this deal between the Sabres and the Mammoth, never said that before, went down last night with Paterka to Utah in exchange for Kesselring and Doan. Marty, your thoughts?
My thought, first of all, is I went to bed early and I did not get my phone was buzzing all night because I woke up to like 40 unopened messages or whatever. I was like, what is going on? Right. 7:30 this morning.
Insider.
I wake up, I'm like, what's going on? Then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm getting all these. So I guess my biggest thing, and we start talking about it more this week, and we had Chris Baker on yesterday, and we talked about it more, was what's the big plan? The Marty plan from last season in March and April was always, how do you get better for game one of next year? And J.J. Paterka, the fact that he did not have arbitration rights, that rumors were that he probably wanted to go somewhere else, you didn't have the luxury to say, well, you know what? Sit on the sideline until December or for the whole year because you didn't have that luxury. So were you going to be a better team game one without J.J. Paterka or at least getting some value in return? And you can't wait 2-3 weeks to make the trade. Like, very rarely does it happen in late July and August. It happens now. Now is the time. And I feel like that is exactly how the Sabres saw it. Is it a hard pill to swallow? Yes, because J.J. Paterka was a player they drafted. You remember when they drafted him second round? They wanted to trade into the first round to get him again. Mm. Like they ended up getting in the second round early on. They developed him, spent some time in Rochester, Buffalo. It's great. So it's a hard pill to swallow to say he wanted out. But you have to also put the business side of it and say, okay, well, how do we get value and how do we check a few boxes? And I feel like they checked a box that I wanted to be checked when you look at the defense, a partner for Owen Power and a right shot defenseman that's got size. That they were able to accomplish, that makes them better game one than not having Paterka at all in the lineup.
What about Josh Doan, though?
Yeah, Josh Doan is intriguing to me because I think Josh Doan has a lot of upside. I think it has been a little bit longer developing. He's only played
62 NHL games.
Exactly. Still played some time in the AHL last year, right? And then had 50-some games with Utah. So I think there is. Look, Josh Doan was a great story when he got drafted in Arizona because he played at Arizona State. His dad, Shane Doan, was Winnipeg and Arizona, Mr. Coyotes, everything. So it was a great story. In Utah, it's not the same cachet, right? But I still think the player itself still has an upside to me that would be middle six. Right now, he's still a prospect to a certain extent, but 60-some NHL games, as you pointed, but I think there's a middle six there that could be attained by Josh Doan at some point here. I'm not talking in 5 years, in the near future. So I think that there is a good player there. But the goal was, can you get somebody on the fence? We talked about, you know, Aaron Ekblad and Cody Ceci and all these right shot defensemen, right? Kesselring, you brought it up, Duffer. You were one that said, what about a guy like Kesselring at Utah? And it was like, oh, yeah. Like, I remember when he scored his first goal, it was against Devin Levi, played with him at Northeastern, and this, that, the other thing. Good skater, big size, right shot, long stick. Like, okay, there's a lot there. You brought it up, and I was like, I'm intrigued by that. So now that it's done, I'm like, okay. Like, potentially Byram goes now, and you have your seven defensemen. You have Darlene Witt, play with whoever you want. A right shot, either Bernard Docker or Clifton. Power with Kesselring.
And well, hang on.
What?
I don't think anyone is projecting that.
I'm just saying is that I really...
Maybe my question to you was going to be, and you know, apologies for the likelihood of bouncing in multiple directions here, but this is what happens when you have a trade of this significance, because you've opened up a spot in your top six, you've addressed a spot on the blue line, you have undoubtedly an awful lot more to come, and we have Shayna Goldman and Darren Dreger also on the show today, but I'm not going to let you just say random player here is going to play with Rasmus Dahlin. Like, everybody immediately suggests that Kesselring is Power's partner, but my question to you is going to be, would the Sabres be better off keeping Bo Byram now?
My answer is no.
Okay.
Because I feel like you did check a box on the blue line.
You didn't like Byram and Dahlin, and you don't want that moving forward.
I didn't mind Byram and Dahlin, but I'm looking at, okay, like, you know, the one of the thing also with Peterka is he goes out and signs a $7.7 million contract per year over 5 years. So Byram is going to be eight. Look, use that money and spend it somewhere else. Get acquire somebody in a trade that's making that could go and spend it on July 1 as, you know, you're looking at free agency.
There's not a lot of options on July 1, let's be honest. And
there's not a lot of options.
You can sit here and dream that you're going to be the winner in the 32-team sweepstakes for two or three of the players that could help, but the rest is going to be overpaying.
The rest is going to be overpaying, yes. But again, it shows to me that, okay, let's see what happens in the next few days at free agency, the desperation of going to acquire, because if you don't have Byram and you didn't have Peterka, that's probably, we talked about, what, $16 million, right? That potentially you were going to spend on those two players, you can spend somewhere else.
But as you say this, are you planning on the money being spent on top six and not the blue line? So like what else are they doing here? And is Dahlin going to be playing with one of the players you just mentioned, or are they going to bring in somebody else in your opinion?
In my opinion, I feel like the blue line is probably okay now. That's my opinion. Like, I feel like you filled a need. You could have lefty righty on every pairing. I don't care who Dahlin plays with, really. It could be like
Ekblad. I said,
well, if it's Ekblad, great. I mean, then all of a sudden we're like, okay, that's a totally different story. And
correct.
Maybe you spend $8 million on Aaron Ekblad. But if
more.
You don't, if you spend somewhere else,
okay,
and you
would
bring
you rather
in the top
spend
six,
nine on
fine.
Ekblad or bring in Jordan Kyrou at eight for six more years?
I'm probably going to answer Ekblad to that.
I would think so.
Okay, so I'm going the right direction.
No, good. No, there. As previously stated,
stamp,
there are
doink.
No directions except for all of them on
but
this
show. You know
show.
What was interesting too, Duffer, is when the rumor mill was saying the Sabres are looking to acquire two top six forwards, and I was like, why are they trying to acquire two top six forwards? Maybe one, right? I talked about acquiring one top six forward this whole time. Well, they were rumored to acquiring two, probably because Peterka was on the move. So now you're like, okay, you're moving Peterka and you want to acquire two top six forwards. You have the money now to go and acquire two top six forwards, right? You can go. You have Tuck and Thompson and Norris that are your core up front. But if you acquire two top six forwards to go along with Quinn and McLeod and Zucker and Kulik, and now you're like, okay, I can see this going. But forwards, like, they were a top 10 scoring team last year. And okay, maybe you lose Peterka. Even if you're top 15, the big challenge for me is, can you not be 27th on defense? Can you be top 15 on defense? That will balance it out.
I mean, maybe this is better served for our guests, but I'm on a roll here, so I don't want to stop. would you not be still interested in adding someone like Rasmus Anderson to play with Dahlin? And so, that's half the price, maybe, of what you... And again, what are the chances you get Ekblad, right? Obviously, you're going to try, but it may not even be an option. So...
To me, there's still a Bo Byram that you are. It's most likely going to happen. Listen, everybody's talking about Byram is going to be traded, and I think the desperation of the Sabres again to say how can we be better on game one next year probably comes with trading Bo Byram, and then you can still add picks and prospects and whatever young players that you say, hey, we're going to trade to acquire maybe another right-shot defenseman. Maybe it's not a right-shot defenseman. Maybe it's a left-shot defenseman, but can play with Dahlin, and you know that Dahlin can play both sides, right? I still think you check the box right now by adding Kesselring and being a partner for Owen Power. I think that was a priority. Does it feel like the full value of Peterka was not maybe match in return? Okay, I'll give it to people that say, well, Peterka, like Utah won the trade. Okay, Utah got the better player. But I'm saying the Sabres filled in the needs, and in the situation they're in, I'm totally good with the trade. Mm-hmm. I hate to see Peterka go because, again, good player, developed and all of that. But you filled in the need you had, which is getting a right shot defenseman to play with Owen Power. What if that trade alone makes Owen Power looking like a number one overall pick more?
Right.
Because you're able to get that partner. Do I care that you gave JJ Peterka away? No, because Owen Power looking like a number one overall pick is more value than the 27, 28, 30 goals that Peterka could score. Because I can get that other places.
If you get that other places, that's how I would conclude your assessment there. Because if all of a sudden this team drops off and doesn't fill a top six role, then it's
well,
this,
then
right?
This is going to be a long year. This is going to be a tough year.
Right. So, and I'm with you. Like, I think.
But I put six names, Duffer. I got on my sheet. I put six names, and there's six forwards.
Well,
I didn't put defensemen on my list of like targets.
But we have time to still do that with Shayna Goldman and Darren Dreger as the show goes on. The draft is tomorrow. Your opportunity to win a blue and gold Sabres jersey signed by their entire draft class of 2025. You can do so right now by entering at sabres.com/class, and you can do so through the 4th of July. Shayna Goldman, perfect timing as always here on Sabres Live, because there is depth to be added to all the pieces involved in this trade last night between the Sabres and the Mammoth. Hi, Shayna. How are you?
Great. It's like the Sabres knew we were doing this on Thursday, and they're like, okay, let's give you a banger trade to talk about.
Yes, and the fact that you were coming on first and Dreger later, you know, gives you the opportunity here to really, you know, help. And it's funny, you know, I was up when the deal was materializing, and obviously most times on social media, you're going to see negative commentary. But even in a 9-hour window since the deal went down, you're seeing way more people understanding it and recognizing what Buffalo is getting. So let's focus on that part of it from your perspective, just what Buffalo is getting.
Okay. Yeah. I think the initial shock of the trade, you know, like it dropped late at night, and then you hear names. You hear that it's Josh Doan involved. That was a shock. The fact that it's not Michelli, or everyone was talking about, you know, the 4th overall pick that Utah is rumored to want to move. So I think once you get past all of that, you can actually look at what's here. I think that the cost for Peterka was going to be high, right? In this market, we knew the Sabres could command a lot. I think the key was getting a right-handed defenseman back. And that's what they're bringing in Michael Kesselring. And I think he's a really good player. I don't think many people outside of Utah really got the chance to watch him. I don't think Utah was the most watched team last year for a ton of reasons. But he stepped up in a big way in the top four when guys like Marino and Durzi were out of the lineup. And he played top 4 minutes. And I think he really showed that he has the chops to play that kind of role, right? Which is exactly what Buffalo needs to play alongside someone like Owen Power. And maybe if they decide to shift Dahlin back to the left, there's another opening on the right there as well. He's a really mobile guy. And I think right-handed defenseman who can actually skate, that's super valuable. I think it helps him a lot. He can jump up in the rush, can move the puck really well. He can pinch. And I think the other thing he's been working on well is his zone entry defense, which the Sabres need more help with. I don't think he's the perfect defender yet, but he's, you know, an up-and-coming guy. And I think you can see where the potential is to work on maybe his positioning, using his size a little bit more effectively. But to me, at the low risk, low cost, right, I think this is buying into a player who could become a really important part of this top four.
So, Shayna, on The Athletic and The New York Times, you graded the trade by saying the Mammoth was an A- and the Sabres were a B. Now, listen, I'm a Sabres lifer. I love this team. I want them to do good. I'm always going to look at it with the glass half full, and people will call me Homer for it, but that's fine because Rick Jenneret was the best, greatest Homer of the team, and I don't care if you call me Homer because he was one. But you don't have to feel that way. But you gave the Sabres a B, which is closer to the A minus of some people may say A to D, right? Like they could spread it out. So why being so close in the, which I felt was probably the right assessment, but tell me what you came to the, you know, conclusion by saying A minus and B.
Yeah, you better think that was the right assessment. I mean, I need my tires pumped once in a while. You know what? I think the trade grew on me the more I thought about it as I'm like digging into it, because Kessler Ring, I knew I liked as part of it. When we did our story on Paterka and trade destinations a couple earlier this week, Times of Flat Circle, sorry, yes, with Matt Faber, and he mentioned this was a really good fit and I liked that. And we were thinking, could it go with the forward? And someone like Michelli came up and I thought, okay, the Sabres could use a good puck mover, but he doesn't have enough dimension for me, right? I think he passes instead of shooting a little too often. And obviously his ice time has dwindled this year. And I think that affects the way he's played. And I think we saw that with Kessler Ring too, right? When his minutes went down, when the blue line got healthier, I don't think it agreed with him as much either. I like the addition of Josh Stone. It was a huge shock because it really separates Utah from Arizona in a way. There's that sentimental value, but he's also a good player. I don't think he has the same ceiling as Paterka, right? Which is a true top six player right now versus I think Doan's more of a middle six guy. But he has this tenacious, hardworking, you know, game. Plus, he brings skill to the table. Thomas Drans last night on Twitter mentioned, like, this could be your low-key version of Hagel for years to come. And I really like that assessment. And I just think this makes a lot of sense. It fills two needs. My issue with it was why it didn't get the same grade as Utah is I don't think the context of the Sabres helps them in this situation where you want to see the team make these big swings and invest in players, right? They have a ton of cap space. If Tampa Bay acquired these two players and it's like, okay, here's two players under $3 million combined, you'd be saying home run. And it's a little different here. I think you need to see Buffalo be aggressive. And I think the problem is we don't always see players play up to their potential here. So if they can find a way to maximize the value here and also show that they're willing to take big leaps in either mm-hmm. free agency or potentially with a Byram trade, mm-hmm. then I think like then you're cooking. Then the savings here is going to make a little bit more sense.
Agreed. And I think that's where most people got eventually, whether their initial reaction was surprise in the, you know, in perhaps Buffalo not getting what they thought. But I think most people then got to a point of, yeah, like show me what's next. And we're going to find out what's next here real quick based on the number of players that are still, you know, on trade boards and some of them that don't have any restrictions until July 1st. Marty, this might be opening the door for some of your homework from this morning, but Shannon, do you see like a good top six fit that Buffalo should be? Obviously, we've talked about Kyrou before. Although that could, you know, they probably don't need more right wingers at this point. But, you know, that anyway, where do you see Buffalo potentially going here?
I mean, I have to think if they're going to move Byram, they're doing it for a forward, right? I think.
Yeah, but St. Louis isn't a good partner there. They've got they've got a little too much contractually on their blue line already.
Yeah, I think it's teams like Philadelphia maybe that can make sense with that, or yeah. Columbus could make a little bit of sense there. I think that there's definitely going to be options out there. And I also think that they can make other deals, right? Because we know the Sabres have picks and prospects and things like that, which even contenders would go for because they might be able to use that at the deadline to flip for bigger pieces so they can go for a strong playoff run. Like we know that there's ways to make this all work. Yeah, Kyrou's an interesting name. He definitely is defensively flawed, but I think he does have that high-end offensive skill. I don't know if he's the perfect fit. I would be curious what teams up against the cap are going to do. So I'd be looking at Vegas with Barbashev or in Florida, like Mackey Samuskevich, I think is like this low-key option, maybe an underrated pick. He's an RFA. Mm-hmm. Anaheim, when there was buzz with Troy Terry, I can't see that one happening. If Anaheim does that, they're losing that trade. So if he's available, I think every team should go running and screaming over there and try to pry him right out of the Ducks because he's a great player. And another player that stands out to me is someone like Morgan Geekie. If Boston, again, oddly, would want to move on from him, I like the idea of players who could play center or wing because I think that adds all this versatility to the lineup. And I think the question marks of like, where is Tage going to play? I think you want to have these options, but all of those are in that tier below. I would be aiming a little higher if I could. Cole Sillinger's name that would stand out. If Columbus makes sense as a trade partner, maybe swinging for Ehlers. He's going to be a free agent. He is going to command something like $9 million. And oh, look, the Sabres have that space. So that's where my head is up front.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I had Marco Rossi on my list, and then I read Michael Russo's piece on The Athletic, and I was like, oh, the Sabres said no because they didn't want a small forward, right? So that there was conversation.
Their bigger reason is Minnesota didn't have a right defenseman to dangle.
Yes, you're right. But they started with Rossi on the Paterka, and the Sabres were like, well, we want a right side forward, defenseman, but also Rossi is a smaller forward, and we want to go in a different direction. So I crossed off Rossi and I put Morgan Geekie on my list, which is great, Shayna, because you just said Morgan Geekie. How about this? This would be a big swing, a kind of a crazy swing, but
okay, let's go. I'm in.
Okay. You're all in. Okay, good. Because I put Ricard Raquel on my list, Pittsburgh. Now I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, so if let's say they traded Bo Byram to Pittsburgh and Ricard Raquel was part of a package, and then you say to Pittsburgh, you retain half of Erik Karlsson, and we take Karlsson and something else in the deal, right? Could you see Karlsson fitting in for 2 years with Dahlin as a top pair and then Power, Kessel, Ring, and then you have like Samuelson, Clifton, and all of a sudden, like, you swung for defense, but you made something happen to kind of say, hey, we're going to like really solidify the blue line.
Okay, that is a wild trade, and I absolutely love it. I'm here for it.
Duffer's eyes are about to pop right out of his head.
Okay, start with Raquel. Really good pick there. Really, really good player. Yes, okay, there's a Sidney Crosby effect, but he also was doing well in the second line. I think the key for me here is he can play anywhere in the lineup, right? He can play the left, he can play the right. And oh, look, he played center last year, which he hasn't done in a century and a half, and he was still very good there. I really like Raquel, and I think the Sabres are one of those teams that can afford to have some of those players in their 30s, right? You know, we have to remember players in the 30s are not dead yet, even if they're not in their prime. And I think when you have a lot of up and coming talent like the Sabres do, you need that balance, right? You want a lineup of a little bit of everyone. You don't want to necessarily be the youngest team in the league and vie for the Stanley Cup. It doesn't always click, right? You need a good balance. The Karlsson element of it is such a wild card. I did not expect you to go there. And, you know, I did a deep dive on his game yesterday. To look at trade destinations. And I think that there's more left in the tank there. And I don't think he's been used properly in Pittsburgh at all. I think any acquiring team has to know what he is and how to maximize him, right? The offensive ability is still there. It just might not be as strong as it was in the past. It's the defense you have to worry about. I think Dahlin can balance that out. I think we saw Four Nations. There's a little bit more than we've been seeing in Pittsburgh. The only question I have is, can you truly maximize his ability in Buffalo if he's not getting power play one? Or now is he taking power play one away from Dahlin or Power, which I think that they're, you know, they should be getting more reps in that role. But I don't hate it because it's only for 2 years, right? So if they have prospects in the system they feel aren't ready for this level yet, you're filling a right side void for two seasons. It's not the worst idea in the world. Like, I think that it could be interesting, and I could see that whole like Swedish effect of playing with Dahlin convincing Karlsson when I think ideally he goes for a contender.
Oh, Duffer is on mute because he doesn't want
to. He doesn't even want us to know what he thinks.
It's true. I was under my breath. Yes. I'd rather see Rasmus Anderson.
So. Yeah. Yes. I Rasmus Anderson would be great, and you could trade Bo Byram to Calgary and say, okay, well,
I mean, I still think there's Anderson a bigger trade deal to be made with Vancouver that would involve Byram, but anyway.
And Vancouver's a great trade partner because 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to win that deal.
Could you go? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, okay, so for a top six, Chris Baker from Sabres Prospect yesterday, we were talking about the draft, and he mentioned Connor Garland. Sabres Live, we've loved Connor Garland for a while. We've nicknamed him Christmas Garland from the time, you know, that he was playing in Arizona. And but could you see a Garland and a Demko maybe field to a Bo Byram trade to Vancouver?
I feel like the Canucks are going to make the wrong decision here, and they're going to keep Demko and get rid of Shelobs. That's my take. But I could see that because I think there is potential with Demko because we know when he's healthy, he's really good. It's just the durability issue. And I think, you know, with someone like Levi, like if Demko gets hurt and Levi has to play more, it's not the worst thing in the world, right? Like, there's ways to make this work. Garland plus Benson plus Doan in that middle six would be so annoying and so, so, so pesky to play against, which I really do like. It's an element that I feel like the Sabres are missing. I feel like Jordan Greenway brought that for a little bit, right? Because we know he's this, like, forechecker that can get in your face. But I think you just need more gnats and you need more pesky wingers who are going to annoy you to, you know, start to finish and put in some goals at the same time and produce. I definitely don't hate that one either, because it's like, it's interesting. It's different. I still think you need to upgrade at the top of the lineup and then this solidifies the middle. But you need depth. You need, you know, you need some big name players. You need some support, a good supporting cast. Look at the Oilers. They can't win without it.
Would you throw money at John Tavares now that maybe you didn't have to pay Peterka 7+ and maybe you don't have to pay Byram 8 and all of a sudden maybe Tavares is 34 years old and he wants $7 million for 4 years? Would you throw that at him to say, hey, you're coming in and you're a second line center behind Josh Norris?
I don't hate that either, because if he can't shake it at center, and I wonder how he looks at center without someone like Marner or Nylander on his wing, right? Because I think that's the thing that's been the big question mark in Toronto for some time. You could easily throw him on the wing, right? Like, you can say, okay, Tage, you're playing center. Okay, Norris, you have all these other options that now you have this, like, line of flexibility that you can mix and match your lines in a different way. I think he's a really good power play player. I think that he can generate a lot of scoring chances. It's not a bad move, but I still think you need another passing threat in that top nine.
I'm going to stay on mute. I'm kidding. What do you think is next for Buffalo?
You know, I would assume something with Bowen Byram. I think this is a unique year. And I think the fact that I kind of like the decentralized draft before we've seen it happen, and I might change my tune in 24 hours. So just wait. If it makes the combine this, like, buzzy place where all general managers go and everybody's talking there, I think it can get things going a little bit earlier instead of starting to kick the tires in mid-June. Like, the conversation is going to start sooner, and I wonder if that's going to facilitate more deals over the next 24, 36 hours than we generally see on draft day. So I am very curious if a Byram deal does get done sooner than later. And I wonder if there's this top forward that they can go after, because I worry if they think Byram for a forward is the key to making a deal happen, just like for Peterka, it was getting that right-handed D. Mm-hmm. Does the price of a winger go up when teams eventually, naturally, are going to miss out on the likes of Marner and Ehlers and Besser out there? So then there's going to be more demand for wingers, especially now that Peterka's off the market. So I wonder if that happens sooner.
How about a three-team trade that would see Byram go somewhere and see Marty Natchez come to Buffalo? Would you see, because they're not trading Byram back to Colorado, but I put him on my list of hey, that's a top line, top six guy that has he has 1 year left at 6.5. He's 26 years old. He's producing. Maybe there's a back way to getting Natchez in trading Bo Byram.
Okay, I'm going to put my foot down on that one, because I do really like Marty Natchez as a player, but he's a UFA in a year.
Exactly.
And I worry about him wanting to hit the market. I mean, if you're not happy in Colorado, a team that is trying to contend with Nathan MacKinnon, then I'm not. And listen, it might just be the vibe of the city. If that's the case too, then I feel like, do you want a bigger market? Maybe it is in Buffalo either. So there's ways that I think it works against them, and then they invest a ton in just a one-year player. Because I think his skill set would be interesting there. But I don't know if it works, because he's the puck mover that I think that they're missing up front.
Shayna, gotta fly. Thank you, as always. Enjoy the draft. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, Darren Dreger is next here on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
And from TSN, our hockey insider Darren Dreger joins us now on the heels of big news from Buffalo last night, sending Peterka to Utah in exchange for Kesselring and Doan. Darren, your immediate and now reflection time on the deal from last night. What did you make of it?
Well, it was interesting, right? So we got wind of it probably around 9:30 Eastern, that there was something in the works, but pinning it down as to what it exactly was going to be was the challenging part, as is the case pretty much on every trade chase that we do. At one point, wondered whether or not Sean Durzi would be part of it coming back. And then, as it turned out, that wasn't the case. There was some speculation as to whether there was a flipping of picks that was going to be included in all this. And then as it got a bit later and it got later, Kesselring and Doan's name surfaced. But again, you know, that was unconfirmed. It felt like somewhere along the line there was a bit of a snag in the negotiation, which is why it took maybe longer to wrap up. But, you know, in the end, it seems fairly orchestrated, I would say, by Alan Walsh and J.J. Paterka because, you know, almost immediately and not coincidentally, Paterka gets his contract extension with Utah. But what's interesting about it is, and look, there are critics out there. There are critics across the league. And I'm talking about other hockey operations departments, not necessarily general managers, but rivals, right, who would look at this deal and go, geez, okay, they give up a 23-year-old winger, a pretty highly regarded player, and, yeah, they get back a right-shot defenseman who's a physical player, so he's going to bring in some bite in Michael Kesselring, and they get back Josh Doan, who's a high-character player. You know, is he a bottom six? Can he slide into the top six? Eventually, don't know. There's a level of uncertainty. Is that enough for Paterka? And I guess my immediate reaction would be yes, because it was also very evident that J.J. Paterka did not want to stay in Buffalo and wasn't going to extend in Buffalo. So are you better to wait or looking at what you're looking at, which is another season of uncertainty, try and make your team better right now so that you're not dealing with all of the negativity anymore. You're dealing with a more positive outlook moving forward. So in that sense, I think that Buffalo did well.
Do you feel like it happened quickly in one day or with, you know, Kevin Adams' press conference 2 days ago, not answering if Paterka had asked for a trade and saying there's a lot of, you know, misinformation, but now we kind of know that that was happening now and the same for Bo Byram potentially. But do you think like it happened quickly in one day after the presser and everything, or this was for weeks had been kind of worked on?
Well, I don't think that something like this happens quickly. So, I mean, and how many conversations? The Paterka speculation has been out there for months, if not longer. And doesn't it feel like every segment I'd come on with you guys, you know, at least a couple of times a month, we'd ask about Paterka. And I'd have to take Buffalo's position, which was obviously Kevin Adams' position, in saying, look, we're not keenly interested in trading J.J. Paterka. Don't know where this speculation is coming from. There is no active trade conversation. But anytime you have something like that, as open and as vocal publicly as it was, well, guess what happens? Teams are calling, and they're constantly calling. And then there's another wave of speculation, and different teams start calling, right? So I think it just got to a point where, you know, Adams wisely just said, look, I'm not interested in trading him, but make me a deal that makes sense, that I think is, let's have a conversation about it. And then so it eventually evolved into where they get to. But what's more interesting for me now is how we move forward. And I can tell you guys, when that deal was finally announced, confirmed last night, wee hours of the morning, smiles on the faces of general managers with interest in Bo Byram. Right? Because all along, Bo Byram was the more likely of those two guys to get traded. But the response from Adams was, if I'm trading Bo Byram, I need a right shot defenseman coming back the other way as part of the package. Well, he gets the right shot defenseman in Kesselring. So now all of these general managers who have interest in Byram, but didn't want to have to give up one of their own right shot D, are kind of trying to look at things creatively. Okay, well, maybe we're back in on this with Bo Byram. And so the list of teams that would have interest in Bo Byram, it's pretty extensive. I mean, it's 6, 7, 8 teams deep, legitimate players for Bo Byram at this stage.
Do you think that's next for them? Or do you
see
that?
Yeah, I do. And the reason why is contractual, right? No different than Paterka. Maybe a different approach by the agent. Alan Walsh represents J.J. Paterka. Darren Ferris now represents Bo Byram. Ferris isn't going to hold Adams and the Buffalo Sabres feet to the fire right now, but a year from now, oh boy, look out, right? Because now you're right in the wheelhouse, the Ferris wheel is what we call it, because the player has arbitration rights now. So that gives you 1 year. What do you think is going to happen a year from now? You know, he's just going to say, no, we're going to free agency a year after that. So, you know, let's see how it plays out. I mean, Bo Byram is such a valued piece. You know, I'll name some of the teams. Ken Holland and the Los Angeles Kings would love to find a way to acquire Bo Byram. You know, they often will go with five forwards on defense. You know, you've got Doughty there as a big part of that power play. But can you not see Bo Byram helping out the LA Kings power play? Vegas. Oh, yeah. Kelly McCrimmon is keen on Bo Byram. I don't know how he's going to be able to manage all of it because there's never any speculation that he's going to find a way to sign Mitch Marner as an unrestricted free agent. You know, he's already extended some players there in Saad and Riley Smith. So he's going to have to move out some bodies. But that kind of takes me back to what I said in the acquisition of Kesselring as a right shot D-man. So now does that open the door for McCrimmon and the Vegas Golden Knights again to get a little bit more creative? Mm-hmm. Could you see Nick Hague and something else, you know, sweeten it to a point where you become a legitimate trade contender for Bo Byram? So there's LA, there's Vegas, St. Louis, I know is interested in Bo Byram. Philadelphia reportedly has had interest. It was warm, then it was a little bit more cool. Maybe it warms up now again because of the ask. The return to Colorado, I think Colorado, weirdly enough, has interest in reacquiring Bo Byram. What about the Toronto Maple Leafs? I mean, Brad Treliving is involved in everything. So I could probably name about five other teams on top of that, but I don't think it'll go beyond the group that I've already mentioned.
Well, there's a few teams that you didn't mention that I'm interested because of that right side defenseman. Duffer's changed my mind on it. At first, I was like, the Sabres are all set on defense. And then he's like, whoa, wait a second. They still could use a top pair defenseman to play with Dahlin, another right shot that could play there. And so Rasmus Anderson in Calgary, Noah Dobson with the Islanders, Ekblad maybe as a UFA. Is there, you know, some traction in Anderson and Dobson most likely to be traded? Ekblad's a UFA, so that would be July 1.
Yeah, so I'd keep a real close eye on Noah Dobson and the New York Islanders. There's rumblings as we're sitting here live right now that, yeah, there could be something cooking there. To where? I've heard Utah only in a wildly speculative fashion, and I'm okay with that because that's where we're at in this window leading up to tomorrow's draft and then ultimately through a busy weekend that takes us into free agency. Bit of a head-scratcher for me, but again, it's contractual with the New York Islanders, right? He's a nice player. He's a nice player. Now over to Rasmus Anderson, the Calgary Flames. Tons of interest in him, as you would expect. The messaging that I get back from the Flames, though, is a little bit different in that they're like, okay, well, there's not necessarily a rush. You know, we do have time. Well, everybody has time when you've got the player under contract for one more year. But if you're seeing the return on some of these defensemen, these pieces, maybe that's enough. Or maybe it's enough for a team that doesn't land a defenseman. Like, you know, wherever Bo Byram ends up, again, assuming he is the next chip to fall here from Buffalo's perspective, the teams that miss out there, you know, they can't risk free agency. They can't. You know, Aaron Ekblad is either going to stay with the Florida Panthers or maybe lands in Utah. Okay, well, there's another, like, Utah's collecting players all of a sudden now. But I give Billy Armstrong and that group credit in Utah because they were being super aggressive. But those two defensemen in Dobson and Rasmus Anderson, they're in the same conversation, maybe not equal in player, but in terms of trade interest, they're in the same conversation as Bo Byram at this stage.
The CBA, the next one, close to being accepted?
Yeah, real close, right? I think Frank Saravalli reported that the expectation is that they could make an announcement as early as tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we supposed to be drinking out of a fire hose on Friday? Like, you know, we're in this whirlwind.
Not like you haven't done it.
I'm good with the trade speculation and the draft picks getting flipped. I mean, I've lived that since 1998. But to do a news dump on a Friday, which includes a new collective bargaining agreement, like, what are we doing? But that sounds like what they're doing. And that's fine. I mean, just get it over with. Here's an interesting twist to all of this, though, because probably what you want to know is, okay, well, what are some of the more intriguing details and changes that can be contained in the CBA? You know, there are a couple that I think are noteworthy. The one that is most noteworthy to most, I think, will probably be some form of a salary cap in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is going to be to dissuade the teams from doing what we've seen historically with LTIR usage, and then a player just magically pops into the playoffs. This year's example, Evander Kane and the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, the assurance around the trade deadline, when there was rumor around Evander Kane potentially being traded, was that there's zero chance he is going to be ready or available to the Oilers game one of the playoffs. We have the medical records. He's not physically going to be able to do that. Well, not only was he ready, I mean, he looked like he'd been vacationing and skating every day at the same time simultaneously for the last 6 months. I mean, he was like, boom, like right out of a cannon, Evander Kane. Now, he didn't look that great in the Stanley Cup final, but how do you argue with the success of that player? So Edmonton could come under fire here. The league hasn't officially decided. So that'll be one item. The revenue share plan will be another item. I don't know what it looks like. It could be better for smaller market clubs. But Commissioner Bettman literally warned everyone inside that boardroom yesterday in LA at the Board of Governors meetings, if any of this information leaks out and I find out who leaked it, I'm coming for your head.
All know that something is being leaked out because apparently 84 game regular season, which makes sense because it balances four in the division, three in the other division, your conference two.
It's coming from the player's side though.
Instead of 7 years UFAs and 8 years for your own players, looks like it would be 6 years UFAs and 7 years for your own players. So one less years. There's a few things in there, but
I don't even know how much that matters anymore. It you know, like the top guys, more and more what we're seeing, and we're talking about the top guys, the elite level guys, they're less concerned about that seventh or eighth year. Most of them, not all of them. Some guys like the financial security and getting that mega deal. But also, fellas, as you know, there are lots of players. I wouldn't be surprised to see McDavid do it, maybe Marner do it. Follow the Auston Matthews routine where you take a four-year extension going into your final year, which equates to five, so that you can continue to bite more out of that salary cap with that salary cap increasing. So we'll have tons of details on this I was going to say Friday, but I guess Friday's tomorrow. I don't even know what day.
And we know you're drinking out of a fire hose. Yeah. Good luck with that. We'll see you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Darren Dreger from TSN. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I live in fear of moments like this. Marty has a question for me.
Okay, so on my list of six targets, right, I've talked about Raquel and Natchez, and I talked about Geeky and Tavares. One guy that was on there was Jason Robertson. We talked about him before. But
he deserves more time.
He deserves more time.
He's the guy that this should be the pursuit here. And
we can talk about him on, you know, next Monday, whatnot. But I put Sam Bennett out there. Like, if somehow Sam Bennett doesn't sign with the Florida Panthers and you don't have the $7+ million to Paterka and maybe not the money to Byram, do you go for it and overspend a little bit on Sam Bennett? And now all of a sudden it makes a big difference.
Yes, but I don't think there's any way Florida doesn't retain Bennett if the money is going to go to Bennett and then Ekblad would be available, if anybody is available in all of that. We will be available to you on our social channels once Buffalo does some business at the draft tomorrow night. So we'll see you then.